Welcome to the Bite Size Book Club podcast, She Well Read. We're your hosts, Alana
and Samra, and we're two Black girls in our mid-20s who are on a journey to get back into reading.
Our goal is to encourage women to not only read any and everything, but to also read at your own pace. Each episode, we take a bite-sized approach to reading by breaking down one chapter of a book and diving into a multitude of topics.
We see reading as a source of empowerment and want to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of empowerment.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show. Hey, well-read baddies. Welcome to another episode of She Well-Read. I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
And today, we're back with the usual bullshit. What's the one? Back up on my bullshit. Na, 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 na. Y'all know we love to sing.
We
I feel
do.
Like I be feeling like Lex P whenever I start singing on the show.
Don't make me sing.
Did you listen to their last episode, the one where she was like, I love dealing with a rich nigga. Like that song, and she started singing it. They did a whole TikTok. I'm about to send it to you. It's so funny. I love her. She's so funny.
They are literally the best.
They are. Lex and Drea. Shout out to Lex and Drea. Shout out to the Poor Crew. If you are a member of the Poor Crew, Poor Minds, know what we're talking about.
ATL.
Shout it out in the comments. Houston. We love Lex and Drea here in this house.
We went to their show in
Birmingham.
It was so cute. We brought our little men with us. Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
I mean, they're going on tour again.
Oh.
I hope they come back to Birmingham's not on the list yet.
We were lit. I hope they remember that.
Right. I was like, damn. Like, I know it was a crowd, I think. It was probably not as big a crowd as other cities.
Damn, I just thought about how much bigger other cities are.
Right. But, like, we're right here next to Atlanta, so I feel like they should come
whenever
back.
Whenever people, like, put us, like, whenever they show up to mm-hmm. Birmingham, I'm always like, I have to go.
Because
it's just so convenient.
Yeah.
And it just makes me feel good that we're on the list.
Right, we're here.
Like, Erykah Badu came to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I remember you went.
I guess she always goes. I don't know. Like, it's always part of her stop. I'm mm-hmm. not sure, but, like, I was just like, you thought a little of Alabama.
Right. You know who I'm still sick that she does not think of Alabama but says it in a whole fucking song?
Beyonce?
Yes! Yeah. My daddy, Alabama. Hello?
Alabama.
Right.
I mean, Lil Wayne came.
Coming.
He's coming. This is what happens when you didn't buy a ticket.
I'm so weak. I'm a beater though.
Even though I wanted to, man. It just came and went so fast.
It did. He sold out so quick. But you know who else is going on tour? I don't know if you saw my Instagram DM earlier.
No.
Phoebe's going on tour.
Oh no, I did see mm-hmm. it. So we not only can like get tickets through the giveaway, we can go.
I hope
even
so.
Even if we, which I'm not speaking that, but we can always get our own ticket.
We can, because I looked it up.
I want to go.
I want to go too, period. I looked it up.
We're going to see you, Phoebe.
I know. I looked up the Atlanta show that she has in October, and it's not expensive at all. It's very reasonable. It was like $50-something with fees.
That'll be really fun.
I know. And it's like in the front, too.
Is there like VIP?
I don't know, but I want to get it if
I'm
it is.
Backstage pass.
I know. But I feel like, you know, we do the competition. I feel like we got a good chance.
Oh,
I feel like we kill shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to teach me. It takes me a few more takes now.
That's okay.
With the
we're
going to
do it.
Now, I wasn't a dancer like
I'm
that.
I'm so weak. No, I think we got this. We got this. Shout out to Phoebe Robinson. That's who we were talking about, who was the author of last season's book, Please Don't Sit in My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. Yeah. She is going on tour. It's called Messy AF.
I love her.
Right, if you know her or like if you listened to us last season, it's very on brand.
She is so fucking funny.
She is. So
follow her on Instagram if you're not already, because she has like
so funny.
Hilarious.
Literally. All right, shout out corner. Hello.
Hello.
Follow us everywhere at She Will Read. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, people. We have been getting some subscribers
why?
Trickling in.
What? Why? For YouTube.
Like YMCA?
Yeah.
YouTube. So like, you why for YouTube? We have our new Amazon storefront that we are still moving the list over. But if you want the full list, go to our bookshop. You'll never run out of things to read because we're constantly adding stuff on there. So you can't ever say we didn't tell you what to read or there make recommendations. Go. So
yeah, get there's into that. It.
And yeah, coffee break. So Samara and I went to go watch the new Tiana Taylor movie, 1001. What were you gonna say?
Never.
I just
had a flashback to our whole conversation.
Oh, after the movie?
Yes.
Yes, we went with resident well-read baddie, Autumn.
Love you, girl.
Yes, and we had many thoughts on this movie.
Yeah, so many. We talked for like 3 hours after the movie, guys.
Literally, in the front of a Taco Mama with margaritas.
No, it's fucking wild.
It was.
For no reason.
No reason at all. Yeah.
Watch it. Go watch it. Look, I love a black woman getting her bag.
Period. Maybe we won't do spoilers. We won't tell y'all what it was about or anything. But we want to hear what y'all think if you've watched it, or like if you watched the trailer, what do you think it's going to be about? And then if you actually go watch the movie, and then what it was actually about, and like tell us your thoughts. Tell us what you were thinking.
Please.
Because we had 3 hours worth of thoughts.
So many. Like we were talking in the parking lot for way too long, and I was like, maybe we should sit down. I was like, do y'all want to get a drink?
Yeah, like, literally. I mean, it was perfect.
At that point, so we got our little margs, and mm-hmm. It definitely will make you think.
Yeah, was the point of the movie.
It touched on a lot of very relevant topics, mm-hmm. and honestly, it was like kind of a historical glance at the past 20 years of New York.
Yeah.
30 even.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot to unpack, a lot to discuss, as we've said already. Yeah. But also friendly reminder to have a girl date or have a friend date with your girlfriends or whoever you be hanging out with, because it's good. It was very impromptu for us. I mean, we were going to the movie, but we didn't plan to like talk for 3 hours afterwards. But it was great.
Yeah, we be busy. So even though we live in the same city, it's like we don't talk anymore. Like, I got a new job, mm-hmm. like, men's is involved,
mm-hmm. school
is involved, yes, and so, you know, sometimes you don't make time for your friends, but you gotta remember, like, those are the day one, mm-hmm. original, always gonna be there for you,
right,
pick you up when you're down,
right, we'll talk to you for 3 hours outside of the Taco Mama.
In Vestavia Hills.
In Vestavia Hills.
Oh, so, man. Yeah.
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 Girls.
This is for the girls. That's the episode title, maybe. I don't know. It might not be relevant after we get into this chapter. Right. And with okay, segue. Let's get into the chapter.
That was good.
I want a little like box, kind of like she had on the show where she pressed a button and that sound would come out on iCarly.
You better stop. That would be so funny. What if we did mm-hmm. our own episode of like iCarly? You know what I mean?
iCarly-esque.
Because they were like best friends.
Yeah.
And like
random dancing.
So funny.
That would be funny though.
Just like in honor of this book. Like,
but like, would it be an honor because she fucking hated that series of her life? So would it be
maybe
like,
let's never do it. Like ever talk about. Like Lana was just telling me. Tell them what you just told me.
Well, I think it's a spoiler for the book. So.
Oh really?
Yeah, because it was like somebody like posted an audiobook clip. So I think we're gonna get to it. So I don't want to spoil it.
Oh damn. So y'all, it feels like we've been reading so many chapters, but we've got more than half of the book left. Like that.
Yeah. We've got like a quarter through. Left,
and
yeah.
That's what we've read.
Yeah. But we've talked about so much.
Already. Jesus.
Already. But we are kicking it off with chapter 19. So we, of course, are on this journey of her becoming an actress in Hollywood. And right now, her and her mom are creating a demo reel, which is basically like a bunch of clips of like your past performances that you've done, like all combined into one to be able to send to people so that maybe you don't have to audition, or maybe they'll consider you more for auditions and stuff like that. So her mom's like, we're really close to a big break. We just need a little extra support. And that's why they're doing the demo reel. And of course, there's somebody new, a new manager, talent manager.
A new manager, man.
Right. That her mom is trying to impress. Her name is Susan Curtis. And she's a talent manager. And her mom's determined to get her signed to her. Like she was with all the last two, right?
Exactly. Change your life,
right?
She's over it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, do they become bad? Like, what's going on?
I think is there like
just somebody better. Like, yeah, I feel like always greener type of thing.
Right. I feel like in that industry and really in any industry, it's kind of just like shopping around to see like who's doing it better or differently that could help you out as the person who needs help.
I feel like props to her mom for being like dedicated in a very weird way. Consistent about like you're gonna do this and then you're gonna do this, and it's all like all the baby steps towards like she's going in the right
for her. And so, yeah, so then they finish up the demo reel, send it to Susan, and Susan ends up wanting to represent her. And her mom's super excited. And okay, so in the last episode, we ended on the chapter where she did this really dramatic performance that basically like encompassed, like, because she sees her mom acting like this, like throwing a fit and whatever, that everybody was so impressed by. Apparently, when it actually came time to do the performance, it wasn't as good as her callback performance.
Yeah, she like lost herself in the callback, which I mean, in a way, it's like you do kind of want to be better in that moment.
Right, to get the role. Right.
But I can see how it's like, damn, you know, you should technically save the best for like what's going to be on scene.
Right, what's going to be seen by the masses.
But you can't control that.
Mm-hmm. And so her mom literally says, yes, baby, yes. Mom screams so excited. Even with an underperformance, you still impress. Imagine how impressed she'd have been, Susan, if she'd seen your callback, basically saying like, yay, you got it, but like you still could have done better, like still calling back to that moment. And it reminded me,
just give it to her,
right? It reminded me of this time when I was in high school, and was it high school? No, it was middle school. And I wanted to be on the swim team. Didn't know how to swim, but I wanted to be on the swim team,
like because of the vibe, the aesthetic.
I don't know. I was in a silly, goofy mood and wanted to be a swimmer, but didn't know how to swim.
I love that.
But my mom was like, all right, let's do it. Yeah. And so I go to the swim tryouts, and like, I can swim to save my life, but I am not a good swimmer. Like, you know how they be, and it looks all athletic and shit.
Yes.
So I jump in the pool and look like a dying fish.
Not a dying fish.
And so when I pop my head out at the end, everybody's like coming around like, are you okay? Like
at the end, I wish I had video footage because...
God, I'm so glad I don't. But my mom like was like, while everybody else was seeing if I was okay. There. Yeah, she was like dying laughing, but like still wanted to make sure I was okay. But like that thing that I'm sure I'll do with my kids when they do something.
I can literally see you doing that to your child.
But she won't.
But that's fucked.
She won't. That's not the let right me time. Ever live it down.
You know, that's rude because that's not like your fave moment.
It's not. I was so embarrassed. Like, I had friends there. Like, it was just a very like humbling experience.
You had friends there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. I would have contemplated dark things that night. I would have been like, I can't get back to that school.
Right, like I can't come back from this.
Gotta switch schools, Mom.
Right, and my friends were texting me like, are you okay? Like, like,
not even getting around.
Because I didn't make it, obviously.
Oh, okay, right. Damn,
but
it's
yeah.
So hard the first time you don't make something. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's humbling.
Very humbling. So that's reminded, like, when her mom like keeps bringing up the fact that she didn't do well at her callback, that like it reminded me of that from my childhood experience.
At least you don't do swimming. She literally does acting, so
that's
fine. Like, still do this thing that
yeah.
she's like, it's just like so messed up on so many levels.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But we did put some questions on Instagram.
We did.
Well, I say questions. It was one question.
Yeah, it's okay though. And we got a response, which friendly reminder that we will be posting questions on Instagram every week before we record. If you want to hear us say your answer on the show, check us out on Instagram. You know already at SheWillRid. So yeah, kick it with us. What was the question?
I'm like trying to hold it over here.
Oh yeah. Also, FYI, like when we pull our phones out, if it's too close to the mic, you're gonna hear like.
So I'm just gonna look away.
Yeah, but if you hear it, that's why.
Okay, so we got one that said.
What was the question?
Oh, question. Did your parents ever coach you, and coaches in quotation marks, by telling you what you did wrong, and was it helpful or hurtful?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a little answer.
A little response.
And it said, yes, mom hurtful, dad helpful, but my dad wasn't helpful enough to undo my mom's damage, which is an unfortunate one.
Yeah, and I think it's very similar to Jeanette's
situation. In a really real way.
Yeah. Jeanette's situation, a little indigestion.
Hey girl.
Where it's like, yeah, I can relate to that person where it's like, because my mom did shit like that too, where I was like, this is not what you're thinking that you're doing right now.
And you're not giving what it's supposed to give. Right. You think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
It's not giving. Ooh, that's another good episode title. It's not giving.
Noted. She's like, noted for yeah. when I edit this.
For when I edit this, literally. So Jeanette's feeling bad because she feels like she failed in a sense.
Yeah.
And she literally says, I know she means well, talking about her mom. She just wants me to stop messing up and not doing as well as I could. She just wants me to be as impressive as I can be. She's just being a good mom.
This is something we see a lot in this book, is her justifying her mom's
actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In a way that's just like, she is very loyal to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is. All right, moving on. Chapter 20.
Chapter 20.
Yes.
All right, y'all. So
this one was a little yikes.
So it starts with mom yelling, chug the Gatorade, chug it. And she's chugging the Gatorade, but then her mom's like, but don't get it on your shirt. Mm-hmm. She leans forward to avoid spilling it on her shirt. Her mom's like, keep chugging.
Yeah, she's like chugging this thing of Gatorade.
And she's just like, I do. Like, she just like literally does anything her mom wants her to do. She's just literally there to
be obedient.
And so she's very sick, and that's we realize why she's chugging this Gatorade and has 103 fever. But her mom doesn't want to skip out on the first audition that they have with this new agent, Miss Susan Curtis. And she doesn't want to do that because it would be, what's the word she used?
Not professional.
Non-committal,
yeah.
She didn't want to cancel because it looks bad, basically. Mm-hmm. And so she forces her daughter to get up. And she's, like, heavy, like, the sickly, gross, like, I mean, she...
Yeah, like, when you're sick, you don't want to do shit but sit on the couch and, like, rest.
Yeah.
Especially with 103 fever, like, you're literally burning up.
You should not be anywhere. Now that we've had COVID, we're like, this is obvious, but, like, I guess... Anyway.
And like if you have 103, like you're you can get somebody else sick too.
Oh, for sure.
You're contagious. So it's just rude on so many levels on her mom.
Okay. So she's auditioning for a network crime show. And she's a homeless 11-year-old child in this role. And so she is kind of relieved that it's not like something she has to look super nice for because she feels gross. And she does well enough to get a callback, and
she gets a few of those too.
A few, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up like coming in for the last one, and she's not feeling as bad anymore. Mm-hmm. But because of that, she is way more nervous, and so she's just trying to calm her nerves, and her mom's anxiously whispering to her. As if there's something she can do. Like, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, I feel awful, mom. Like, I can't perk up. I can't
really do anything
at this point. I'm just here to, like, audition and leave and, like, sleep for 24 hours straight.
Right.
Oh, the director is like, you're quiet because mm-hmm. she's petrified.
Right. Literally petrified.
So he tells her, don't worry about it. Just have fun. And she's like, this is not a fun role. Mm-hmm. I'm watching a person get shot. The homeless man that takes care of her is literally getting shot.
In the scene. Yeah.
Like, it's very much giving
not fun,
dark. Yes. Like, this is not a fun situation, and she's thinking about it very literally. But what's interesting is if she liked acting, like, it would be fun,
right? Like, getting into this character, getting into the role,
right? But she, like, doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what's really interesting, I thought, was I had watched this interview there's a dude who interviews other people, and it's called Diary of a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I've heard of that.
It's good. The guy's really, he asks great questions, and he's, like, really good at listening, and, mm-hmm. like, people open up to him. He's got one of those presences.
Mm-hmm.
But Cole Sprouse was the one I was watching.
Oh, okay.
And he actually was in a very similar situation to Jeanette. Mm. His mom was, like, very narcissistic and wanted him and his brother to be in acting to pay bills and, like, support the family. And he mentions that there's two types of children actors. There's the theater kids, and then there's the ones who are, like, just being forced to be there by their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really weirdly common thing, and, like, I don't know, there's some sort of, like, child labor laws situations where I guess the money's pretty good in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't know. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. But she does end up getting this part. The 6-minute mm-hmm. audition goes by really quickly, mm-hmm. which to me means she's getting lost in it.
Yeah.
And they call her mom that night, mm-hmm. and her mom's super excited. She's like, of course, my baby's homeless. My baby's got edge.
God, and it's just like, all right, the madness continues. All right, so chapter 21, if you're following along with us, that's on page 74. And we learn that one of Jeanette's very good skills is being able to cry on cue, which is so huge. Sad. And it's huge, but it's, like, still, like, sad. We'll get into that. And so basically we start the chapter off with she's making her first resume, which is, like, supposed to be a really big deal in the industry, especially at her age, which right now she's about 11 years old.
Yes, it was nice to get an age check.
Yeah, an age check. I thought about that, too. I was like, okay, all right, I see where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom's helping her do this, of course. And
barely.
Yeah, she's, like, trying to make her brother some food. Her mom's
making SpaghettiOs. Okay.
But she's still like, put this in bold letters. Really do like this.
She is the bossy mom.
Right.
Yes.
But something that pointed out to me was when Jeanette said, I could buy Microsoft Word and The Sims with part of my paycheck. Mm-hmm. She wasn't using for bills. It was worth it. So basically, like, her mom, like what you were just saying of her mom using the money she's getting from acting to help pay for their bills, and, like, I guess her treat is like, oh, you can get Microsoft Word and The Sims with part of your paychecks that we're, like, not using to pay the bills in the house, which it's like.
I remember her saying that, like, it's going into an account and, like, all this stuff. So I'm kind of wondering, like, what's really going on behind
remember,
the scenes?
Her mom said it was part, like, part of it's going into an account that's not a part of her, like, her mom's salary plus essentials.
Oh, but that, like, her mom's that's getting. I guess maybe more what I'm wondering is, like, what is the percentage that's her salary, and then what is the percent that's going to her bills?
Because I think it's, like, 20%. I think that's what she said.
So the bills is, like, another percentage.
I'm not really sure. Maybe we'll get into a deeper breakdown, but I remember she talked about it.
Taking way more than just that 20% for different things that are bill related, and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be more. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get into that. Maybe we'll see.
I want to know. I need to see the records.
So yeah, she's typing out this resume and they're trying to use words that'll, like, you know, suggest like the type of actress that she is. So they're talking about how her special skills is kind of the section of the resume that we're at.
Yeah.
And she talks about how she learned how to pogo stick because for one role she didn't know how to pogo stick and her mom literally bought her a pogo stick and made her, like,
practice.
And it's like every time she can't do something for a role, her mom automatically, like, is like, all right, bet, we're gonna, like, train you hardcore and you're gonna be able to do this for the next audition. When it's like a pogo stick, really, like, that's so random. Niche and random. Like, how many audition, like, how, what's the payoff here?
I bet she did use a pogo stick on iCarly for some reason, because I could so see her character doing that.
You're so right. But, like, it's just a lot.
Well, this is her job. I mean, true. Wouldn't you invest in your career?
Bitch.
That's how her mom
I know. But that's what I would tell her mom, bitch.
Period, though. Deborah, chill the fuck out.
That, yeah. Maybe another great episode name. We're on a roll today.
Just pulling them out of a hat at this point.
Literally. So, yeah. So... But she's saying none of these special skills that she's writing is as important as this three-word one, which is crying on cue.
I mean, that's talent. It
is. That is talent, being able to cry. I can't cry on cue.
I can't.
At all. Like, I have to be really emotional.
But we realize who she inherits.
Right.
Like.
And so crying on cue is a skill that you want in every child actor. And everything else pales in comparison, basically.
I'm trying to think of how many times I've seen a child actor cry. And it's like, that's a lot of what they're doing on camera.
And so, basically, the first time she cried on cue was in acting class. And the teacher told her to take an object from home and think of a sad story to go with it to be able to, you know, develop this skill. And she brought in a stapler because Dustin and Scotty, her brothers, draw a lot. And they staple their drawings into little packets to categorize them, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah.
And so basically she also mentions, like, she never thinks of her mom dying. And we go back to her birthday wish that she talks about, which I thought it was a one-time thing. But apparently every year, like, that is her wish for her mom not to get cancer and die again.
That makes sense, weirdly enough.
And so she never wants to use that. Like, she says it's off limits. She says even though she's been in remission for years, her health is still fragile enough that I don't want to jinx anything. Since her life is in my hands and my annual birthday wish.
She does take it very seriously.
She does. But then she says my brother's lives, on the other hand, are perfectly okay to exploit for artistic growth. Which I was like, God damn.
I mean, you know, her mom told her that.
Probably. Her mom definitely probably had something to do with that. And so she does really well in her acting class. And her teacher is, like, just blown away. And from that point on, she got all the auditions that required crying on cue. And, like, to the point where even casting directors are like, so tell me about the kid who cries. Like, yeah. It's just, like, she's really popular. And she says, granted, crying on cue is not fun for me. It was one of the more miserable experiences of my life, sitting in a cold casting office, imagining tragic events that harm my beloved family. Like, the thoughts that you have to think about to be able to just, like, be able to do this skill.
Yeah, I feel like acting does require you to, like, embody these emotions that sometimes, like, they're not great emotions to embody.
Right.
And the toll that takes on you mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, like, and she's 11 years old. Like,
which is already such a, like,
emotional time.
Hormonal time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that stuff. So it's, like, on top of that, like, having to recover, I feel like you could give yourself PTSD or something.
Probably. More than likely. And so even her mom, like, would say things like, imagine if the spinal tap went wrong. Because her brother Dustin had meningitis and had a spinal tap. Like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, her mom's just like, yeah, they're healthy, they're fine.
Right.
But me, I'm fragile. You can't think about me like that.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so she's just really good at crying. And she says, like, she's doing this audition and the casting director is like, I mean, you have the part, but, like, I want to see it again. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, she's like, or whoever it is making light of it because you know, I guess that it's not like she it's didn't not like mean they it. Know,
right?
Yeah, it's like no harm, she thought, no foul, but like Jeanette's like this her process. Literally, like, you can't, but she did.
Right, but she did. And she says, and so I did it again. I had become the Cirque du Soleil performer of crying on cue.
Which was kind of dark as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Not the circus. Like, she's a circus act. Freak of nature.
Right.
Like, I don't like how they talking about my girl Jeanette.
I don't either. But we're going to get more into this whole crying on cue thing soon.
Okay.
But all right, moving on to chapter 22.
Whew, all right. So this is a good chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeanette is in another audition. She's in the waiting room, which is like, I feel like that's her home at this point.
Right, waiting for the next audition.
Very much so. And it's some network police show. And Emily is her character. This mm-hmm. was like a... not a guest star role, but like a guest. It's like a level above, right? Where yeah. she keeps coming back type right. of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the audition is a scene where Emily gets called in for an interrogation and starts getting overwhelmed. And then the tears fall. So she is in this waiting room kind of trying to muster up her sad energy. Mm-hmm. Was probably listening to Lana Del Rey if they had that
they
back
probably
then.
Did it. They probably did not. Maybe the equivalent.
No, they definitely, right. Yeah, there was a lot of sad white girl music at that time. That Facts. Was like the epitome of it.
I'm so weak.
It was, they were in their bag. Okay. but she's not listening to headphones, y'all. She's just doing the thing where she can imagine someone in her family getting brutally, violently killed, murdered, hurt.
Whatever
somehow.
It takes.
And just, you know, but it's not really kind of working this time.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like very disconnected this time, like to her emotion. She feels actually irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't want to do this. I actually don't think it's going to work. And so she kind of like pulls on her mom, like, mom, you know.
I don't think I'm going to be able to cry on cue.
Yeah, like just kind of straight up. She's like, I'm apologizing because she can't. She's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to cry.
Yeah.
And they know, or she notes, that her mom is reading the diet section of this women's magazine. And, you know, recently, which I'll have to send you all these little things I'm talking about, like yeah. the link to the Diary of the CEO.
Yeah.
Because this part reminded me of this podcast I listened to, which is a new podcast from a YouTuber I really like. It's called Highbrow.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about, I think I sent it to you guys in our group chat or something.
Potentially.
It was the history of dieting.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, though.
It's good. It's so good. I tried to, like, send it to y'all at a time, like...
The time marker
to where
it's
relevant. Easier, but the whole thing is really good. And it just talks about, like, how dieting pills were invented and, like, how they got really heavily prescribed to just people specifically... women that were staying at home and like the homemakers of their family
mm-hmm.
and how they as moms were like not required, but kind of it fell on them to, because they're cooking and with their kids the most,
yeah.
they like are kind of in charge of the weight of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that can be like, that's why I think a lot of people have body trauma issues from
body
their
dysmorphia.
Mom
mm.
Because they take it really as their like job. And it said like a lot of different things about how it affected their mental health and like all of this stuff, but I think
sure.
that all started the whole dieting craze that kind of Jeanette's mom Deborah is like in the midst of.
Mm.
And so it kind of made me feel for Miss Deborah, who I'm like so upset at for the way she's raising Jeanette, but at the same time like she's a victim of the media and like what they're telling them, like the
yeah.
doctors are prescribing this stuff and like fashion people are making clothes and like these specific sizes and you gotta fit
thing.
Into them. So it's like, yeah, it's like a systematic issue, which I guess everything is.
Ooh, child, that's a whole other thing. But yes. And so her mom's like convincing her like, oh, you're gonna cry. Like, you're gonna be fine. Like, of course you will. You are Emily. You are Emily, which is this character she's auditioning for.
Yes.
Which is the thing that, like, you had just talked about of, like, actors committing to a role. And it made me think about The Dark Knight. Which
Heath Ledger.
I'm glad you're, because I, like, that quick, I forgot, like, how he got so engulfed in that role and ultimately ended up.
Method acting is a killer.
Yeah.
But that's some people's process.
Right. And, but, it, I mean, it's a dangerous one and something you really have to take care of yourself for. So.
They don't talk about that. Like, there needs to be, like, therapy after. I'm sure there probably is.
Yeah. But it's sometimes, like, you just get so far in, like, it's hard to get out.
Yeah, and I think that probably therapy for roles, I don't know if that was, you know, as common back in the day, just like therapy in general wasn't as common.
Right. Who knows?
You know, things like that. But anyway, that sounded like a threat to me, by the way, when she said that.
Mm-hmm. Like, you better cry. Like, nah, right? Because you better do it.
Which we're or gonna, else. We're going to get more into that, too. Mm-hmm. Jeanette's kind of just like, yeah, this has never happened before, but
she's not feeling it.
But this is my special skill, and this is what's good for me, and this is what's good for mom, and it's gonna make her happy. So she's like, she takes a deep breath, she walks into that room, and she auditions, and it doesn't go well. Which she felt that in her gut, and her gut was right. Which your gut be right.
Your gut do be right. She literally says, I have it highlighted on 79, a part of me is resisting my mind, forcing this emotional trauma on itself. A part of me is saying, no, it's too painful. I'm not doing this. Like, there's this
That's part of her true feeling.
Yeah. But, like, she's trying to fight it, basically.
I know. And, see, it's like you don't know in that moment. Like, the damage you're doing, you know what I mean? You can't see the future,
right?
You're just like, oh, it's gonna be fine, it's just this one time. But, like,
deep inside you're like, wait, your hold up, have we really thought about
saying,
this
slow down, caution, yield, warning,
all of
stop.
The things.
But we kind of basically, they're on their way home now, you know, we life goes on, and it's silent in the car, and she is like, I have to tell my mom this. Like, I feel this in my gut. I've never felt this sure about the fact that I don't want to do this acting thing anymore. So she's like, Mom, I don't want to act. She didn't even realize she said it, actually.
Yeah, like, it was such
it kind of just came out. Word
and that's
vomit.
Happened to me before, where I'm like, anxiety, where it's like, okay, I got to do this thing. And then you do it and you're like, fuck.
You blacked out.
You black out, yeah, in that moment.
Oh, that actually reminds me of, like, my own childhood trauma of, like, my dad just being, like, temperamental as fuck and, like, being very much, like, protective of me. So whenever there was, like, something I wanted to do out with my friends that I thought he wouldn't approve of, I would, like, sit there for a week. I've already, like, found out about this event that's happening that I want to go to on Friday night. And it, like, I knew about it 2 weeks ago, but I don't ask him till the day before.
Yes.
And he's like, why didn't you, like, you just asked me about this now. Like, why are you doing that? And it's because I was, like, waiting for the perfect moment.
Yep.
And I had spent so much time thinking about it that it, like, I should have just ripped the Band-Aid off every time, and I wouldn't do it every time. So anyway, and then you do it, and then you black out.
And then you black out,
Gotta love this, like, throwback shit that you end up feeling when you are reading, which this book is so good at doing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, like, literally, even while we're talking, I'm like, oh, shit, and then.
And then another thing.
And then another thing. But
her mom is, like, just kind of in that threatening way again, like, don't be silly. You love acting. It's your favorite thing in the world, Mom says.
In a way that makes it sound like a threat, because it was a threat.
She, Jeanette, is like, oh my God.
She's so torn in this moment, I feel. Like,
she's looking out the window like, what do I do?
Like, I want to stand my ground and, like, listen to these strong feelings, but also, like, my mom's about to lose her fucking shit.
So she goes on again. she like is literally, her face is getting hot. Like, this is really inside of her that she has to say it. Mm-hmm. She says, no, I really don't want to. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. And her mom's face just completely clenches up. Like, she is sick. She's mm-hmm. like, you can't quit. This was our chance. This was our chance.
And I underline and highlight it. Our. This is our chance.
Your chance. It was your chance.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would have started yelling if I was Jeanette.
I know. I wish I could have gone into her body. I bet she wishes she could in this moment too.
Right. And then like after that happens, she describes it as her mom's banging on the steering wheel, accidentally hitting the horn, mascara trickling down her cheek. She's hysterical. Like, she was in that Hollywood Homicide audition.
Wow.
And she said, her hysteria frightens me and demands to be taken care of.
Never mind.
Like, that's literally what she said. She's like, nope.
She's like yelling it so her mom can hear her through the sobs.
Mm-hmm.
And she just quick as a, like, you know, drop of a hat. It's not me saying that twice this episode. That's so interesting. But she just immediately stops crying. And mm-hmm. Jeanette's like,
I'm not the only one that can cry on you.
I was like, you better, Jeanette. Because in that moment, I was like, oh, my God. It's like an episode of Actors on Actors. Have you seen that on YouTube?
No, another thing.
I got to show you that one, too. We're going to have a YouTube date or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like, because what the fuck? Yeah, but
it's just these actors in a round table, like the best actors. And they're all just talking about their experiences with a certain topic. So they'll ask them a question. And then Angela Bassett will say something. And then someone else
will say Angela something. Bassett did they've the
got,
thing.
They've got the pig pole. It's like, wow. And they just keep saying amazing things. It's just like, wow, wow, wow. But like, they're all the best, the creme de la creme. And that's what it felt like in this moment of like, oh, she's an actress. She thinks she's an actress. But you know who's really the actress and who has actually been watching all of this acting classes and watching her do the dance? And like, this, she's also been learning.
Yeah.
She knows how to fucking act too.
Yep.
She's just waiting for somebody to be like, Deborah, you know, we need you for a mother role with Jeanette. Like, could you please audition?
Wow.
She's like waiting for that moment.
I didn't think about that. Like, but this this whole thing from jump we knew was all about her wanting to be an actress and how her parents didn't let her. So now she's forcing it on her child.
And like, her child is literally telling her straight up, which she's never done before.
Right. She's never straight up just been like, I don't want to do this.
Which just like claps for Jeanette. I'm like snapping because I only have one hand. But yeah, this is a huge moment for Miss Jeanette, even though she did say, never mind.
Yeah. She's like, I want this to end. Like,
she's
let me just...
I want to get home safely. Because her mom was breaking down.
Right. And she like almost, it's so scary, this next thing that she talks about.
It's dark.
It's really dark.
Okay, so basically Jeanette's on her distract mom. That's always step two of like calming her down, is like distract her. So she's like, hey, do you want to listen to Phil Collins? Because she knows that's her mom's favorite CD. And so her mom's like, okay. Like, mood completely switched
up. Completely.
Which to me, I'm like, that's fake. That's gotta be fake.
Yeah.
If you're just able to switch up like that.
Yeah, like, she knows what she's doing.
She not. That's so devious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
But
really
I don't
is.
Know if she's, like, aware of how fucked it is. It's so, like... It's
I don't think so.
Crazy. Yeah,
I don't
like,
think so.
That's why I feel like it's almost not devious, but it's
but it is.
But
it's like it is. Even if that wasn't your intention, that's what you're doing by definition.
Mm. Like, she doesn't get an out just because she's not necessarily aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, but anyway, she starts singing the song.
La la la.
And she said, "Come on, why aren't you singing along, Nat?"
Gosh. And so she starts singing along, of course. And this last part gets me. She's like, I throw on my best fake smile to go with it. And she said, maybe I wasn't able to bring the tears for the Without a Trace audition, but I was able to bring the smile for mom on our drive home. Either way, it's performing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gosh. God.
That was a good one.
That was the one that kicked off, like, all right, we getting in this shit here now.
All right, so moving on, 23.
23. Literally the first line. A little girl shouldn't have to worry about her entire family, Grandpa says to me one afternoon.
The way I circled that.
Really?
Yes, because thank you, Grandpa.
Right. Finally, somebody. But Grandpa, right. Grandpa's been on game.
Die. Okay, Gramps. Gramps is a girl.
Now I have to name this. This one's for the girls.
This one's for the girls.
The girls.
Grandpa. Grandpa.
Came through.
All the women around you might be crazy, Grandpa, but you are not crazy.
Yeah, he's like,
you're holding
it down.
He can
tell she's stressed. She's pacing back and forth. Of course, she's trying to memorize these lines for this audition because what else does she fucking do?
This is her life.
And it's just, there's a lot of adult content in this too. And she has to have this like Russian accent. And it's just a
very layered. Mm-hmm. It's like 14 pages, I think.
Yeah, it's really long.
Something crazy.
And she's outside. And her mom doesn't let her be outside alone because this little girl had gotten kidnapped up the street, which valid. And so her grandpa's outside doing this with her. Just watering the lawn, chilling.
Doing this with her. AKA just sitting there as she paces back and forth on the lawn. Like with this thick packet.
Trying to memorize it.
I would have to be like, this is kind of weird. Like you're 12. Like you should really be having fun, which is basically what what he says to her.
Right. He literally says, I just think you deserve to be a kid.
Okay, can I read this?
Yeah.
Okay, just the next paragraph was so heartbreaking to me. And she said, my eyes well with tears, and not from forcing them to. This is a natural welling. I can't remember the last time I cried naturally. I'm taken off guard. I shuffle my feet. I was just like, oh my goodness, she hasn't cried like a real cry, like a real her own emotion. Like, I cannot imagine being that far away from your emotions.
Right, that disconnected. It's really sad. And her grandpa's just, you know, trying to embrace her, like, come give me a hug. Like, I hate this for you. And I hate that there's not more that I can do to help you. But I want you to know that I don't think this is right. And that I don't think this is
he
okay.
He said, I see you.
Yeah, like, almost validating her feelings in a sense. Because this is, I think, the first time we're actually seeing someone, like, talk to her.
As a person.
And, like, how she feels and how the situation is. Like, even from another adult perspective. Mm-hmm. Of, like, this ain't all the way right. Mm-hmm. And, like, actually, like, talking to her about it.
Yeah, that's big. That's got to feel good for her. Which, you know, we're seeing. But, I mean.
Right.
She says she smells a little bit like beef jerky, but it's nice and cozy.
And he works at Disneyland, and so he gives her this Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc., this little toy, and it's a little present for her, and she's like, he's kind of funny looking, isn't he? And they're just, like, having this moment. He makes her laugh, and she's just like, thank you for basically, like, seeing me and being here for me.
Yeah.
And she even says, fun isn't a thing I'm particularly familiar with. Life's a serious thing. There's a lot going on in this place. Being prepared and working hard and doing well are far more important than fun. I tuck Mike Wazowski into my pocket and go back to my Russian accent. Like, this little, like, blip of a moment of, like,
fun.
Yeah,
if
fun.
That's
like,
what you can call that.
Right. Somebody seeing me, somebody acknowledging that this isn't okay, but, like, you know, reminding me to try and just, you know, have a little bit of fun with it, even though I'm in this, like, shitty situation.
Like a silver lining in a way.
Yeah, and, like, that I'm here for you and, like, you know, just having somebody in your corner through this hard time.
That was really sweet.
It was really sweet.
It was nice to have that moment, but
Yeah, but now we get back into 24, where we're wrapping it up here. It's the last chapter for this episode. We are on page 84.
Thank you for the page count. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Guys. So she is really happy We're starting with that. Mm-hmm. She has written her first screenplay. It's mm-hmm. called Henry Road, which I'd still like to read it if you want to release it somewhere.
Right, not a writer.
Miss McCurdy. And she's so excited to show it to her mom, but her mom is in the hospital, mm-hmm. which apparently she goes to the hospital for things besides cancer, like, all the time.
Yeah, to get things checked out, make sure everything's okay.
She has different things going on. Mm-hmm.
That's unrelated to her cancer, she says, yeah.
But anyway, so Grandpa drives her to the hospital, mm-hmm. and she writes that they had a Bush Cheney bumper sticker, which just, like, to me, like, painted the scene of, like, mm-hmm. what part of time we're in, and I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. I love a little moment. So she's, like, kind of thumbing through her pages. Her grandpa's like, don't get a paper cut.
Yeah, like, I cute little grandpa. Moments. Yeah, he's so cute.
And when they get to the hospital, she's like, hi, Mom, and sits down next to her and notices that she hasn't eaten any of the food on her little tray. Mm-hmm. She also is kind of like looking around. This is a new hospital that she's never been to, and it's mm-hmm. kind of like more luxurious than the usual one. It feels more boutique is what she says. And her mom's like, you wrote a screenplay?
Yeah.
And she really wants her to be impressed, but there's more of a concerned look that's going on. And just starts asking her these off-topic questions like, have you been going outside every day for 20 minutes to get your vitamin D? And she's like, of course. And her mom's like, and you've been going to your dance classes? She's like, yep. And she like picks up the cover, but there's just no like pride.
Yeah, like she's not excited about it. She's not like, oh my gosh, like you wrote a screenplay, like tell me more. Like she's not interested.
Exactly. That's perfect representation of the vibes. Mm-hmm. And she basically just has, like, what's wrong? And her mom looks down and gives her one of the, like, many faces that Jeanette knows, which is her apparently most rehearsed look.
Which I was like, not rehearsed.
Which I guess she feels like, I feel like her mom is, like, acting in her whole life in a way. Like,
that's wild.
Like, she is an actress. And so anyway, her mom's like, I don't want you to like writing more than you like acting.
She's like, you're so good at acting. So, so good. It's like one of those things where, like, it reminded me of a very Southern thing that people do. Oh. Where they're like, oh, that's cool. But, like, this other thing that you do is, like, really, really good or blah, 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 blah. Like, basically trying to, like,
steer them
nice,
away.
Nice, nasty. Yeah.
Nice, nasty is a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
very mm-hmm. nice, nasty.
And so that little thing works on Jeanette, and she just immediately feels really ashamed and embarrassed, mm-hmm. and she was so proud of it. It made me very sad.
Yeah. And she even says, through writing, I feel power for maybe the first time in my life. I don't have to say somebody else's words. I can write my own. I can be myself for once.
I know, she loves writing. I mean, we're reading her book.
Right, that's what I thought about too.
I was like,
as we're like reading this.
This is like a huge deal for you, actually, mm-hmm. because of now we're realizing like your mom wasn't supporting that, mm-hmm. Which is really upsetting. But I liked what she said about it. She said, nobody's watching, nobody's judging, nobody's weighing in, no casting directors or agents or managers or directors or mom. Mm. Just me and the page. Writing is the opposite of performing to me. Performing feels inherently fake. Writing feels inherently real. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's fucking deep.
It was very deep. But her mom's like, okay, good, good. Like, this isn't something you're just, like, gonna try to ditch acting for.
Even though Jeanette's like, that sounded so fake. But her mom's like, great. She's like, I don't think she's even listening, really, really.
Right, no.
She mm. wants to hear what she wants to hear, and that's it.
Yeah.
But then her mom says something really out of pocket.
So out of pocket.
And this is why I was feeling like that Almond Mom. Oh, so I can read that if we have time.
Yeah.
Okay, period, because that was the question we really got more responses for, and like that shit does be triggering, so I can see why. Mm-hmm. Her mom says writers get, or she said, well, good, like, you know, because she just, well, Jeanette just told her she likes acting more. Mm-hmm. For those that forgot, she said, writers dress frumpy and get fat, you know? I would never want your little actress peach butt to turn into a big giant writer's watermelon butt.
Which I feel like this feeds into like the whole body dysmorphia conversation. Very and like body so. Image and dieting.
Like she's projecting her mm-hmm. own feelings onto Jeanette.
Right.
And of course, Jeanette notes what mom says. Mm-hmm. She says, okay, mom doesn't like me writing. She doesn't want me to get fat. And she takes her little screenplay and just kind of packs it up.
Mm-hmm. And then as an afterthought, her mom's like, okay, now that we've gotten through this, what was your screenplay about?
Which I was like, that's so rude.
So rude.
Oh, but then she says what it's about, which is it's a story of a 10-year-old boy and his best friend as they try and pair their single parents together, which she says is basically what they did in The Parent Trap, and just like immediately shoots her idea down.
Right. She's like, oh, they did this already. Like they haven't done a million other like
that's
movies
what I was
that are
thinking.
Like kind of about the same thing, but like they make it their own to where it's not the same thing. Like it happens all the time.
That's
but her
exactly
mom,
what I was thinking. How many mob movies are there?
Right. But her mom's just so hell bent on like, making
She'll
this not a thing. She'll say
to
whatever.
Manipulate you. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even have to believe it.
She doesn't.
Even though I do think she believes this one. And like writers are way more chill and like I love a writer vibe. Like mm-hmm. they are a lot more relaxed because they don't have to be in front of the camera. So I see what she's thinking, but like the way she's expressing this to her very influential young girl child is just so wacky.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And really fat phobic and just messed up.
Right.
And
which
I
there was another
didn't oh, like that at
oh,
all.
My bad.
No, go on.
I was gonna say we had another story question that you posted on Instagram.
All right, y'all. So we asked any Almond Mom survivor stories, and boy, did y'all have some thoughts.
We got some stories.
Just for explanation's sake, an Almond Mom is a mom who is. Acts fat phobic. I don't think they would claim fat phobia, but they are the type of mom. They've been coined Almond Mom because if you ask them for a snack in your house, they're going to tell you to eat some nuts, basically eat some almonds. Like mm-hmm. you're going to be fine. You don't need chips. You don't need Cheetos. Just eat some almonds. Like they're very much on the calorie restriction. Mm-hmm. They're very much like concerned with what's getting put into your body. They don't want you to eat two pieces of cake. Mm-hmm. They're gonna judge you. They're gonna be nice, nasty about your weight to you. And yeah. it just causes a lot of trauma.
Right.
So that's what we mean by Almond Mom. And we've got a few. So one person said, oh, ha 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 ha, my time has come. So let me go to her message because I think that there's like some sort of time or a character limit.
Yeah, there's a character limit. So this was a direct DM, which y'all can do that if you don't have enough room yeah. like in the story box, just DM us.
Exactly.
So we'll just read this said. One because it's really long, which is fine, but we're just gonna do one since it is longer.
Yeah,
for time purposes.
Okay, so this one says, my mom just the other day mentioned she ate a piece of toast and tomatoes for dinner because she can't possibly eat too much at night. And if she gets hungry again, she has sparkling water to fill her stomach instead of eating more food. Smart. She supported me having Herbalife shakes for dinner at 19 to stay skinny when I went to college. When I inevitably started gaining weight, she used to send me pictures of when I was skinny and compare them to my new figure. She straight told me to cut the amount of food I was eating in half, suggested I start intermittent fasting, and offered a consult and a treatment with a nutritionist as a Christmas present to lose weight. And she just wanted to mention that she wears a size large. So definitely not that it matters, but
it's just the intensity of it all.
It's very much, this is what I'm thinking about all the time. More
yeah.
than you even are. And I'm yeah. going to like, again, project that onto you.
And I'm going to help you by offering you these things that will help your situation. Like, making it a you problem and I'm coming in as your savior,
like,
helping
hello?
You when it's like,
I wasn't bothered by this. Or if
right.
I was, like, the thing is, like, you're aware of your weight. You know what I mean? You're living in your body.
You don't need anybody to call that out to you.
You don't. And it's so disheartening and, like, literally heartbreaking when someone does.
And when it's your parent, too.
Especially your parent.
Yeah. Jeez, gosh. But thank you all again for participating on our Instagram stories. We're going to have lots more of that throughout the season.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you for sharing. Did.
Mm-hmm. Our hearts go out to you because that's never okay. And like,
yeah,
there may be some more of this, which is just going to be a little triggering for mm-hmm. all of us. But I guess it's good to work through the trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. So next episode, we will be going, because y'all don't know. Y'all know I can't do math. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30.
Okay, even number.
Even number of I'm Glad My Mom Died. If you're following along with us, you know what to do. If you want to start following along with us and buy a book, go to our bookshop, go to our Amazon storefront so you can support your girls. And yeah, just stay tuned and just keep chugging along with us up this roller coaster. This has been another episode of She Will Read. I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
Bye, y'all.
Peace.